Good. So last week we did a mimer on the parsha, and I thought we'd do the same thing this week. We will get back to Tandi, but I think for the next few weeks, I'm going to do this kind of thing. Still Chassidus, and we'll see in the new term. Okay. So we're going to do parts of it. That's why I've highlighted this, the part that we're going to do. And also at the back page, you'll see there's a, because in this mimer, the Rebbe quotes something from the previous Rebbe, and I want to just quote that as well, so we'll learn that from his Sefer. Okay, so I'll give a bit of background to this. First of all, the mimer is a Hasidic discourse. This particular one actually wasn't said in public. It was in 1977 when the Rebbe had a heart attack on Shmini Atzeres, and then less than 48 hours later, he spoke from his room. He said a sicha, and then subsequent for the next few weeks, every Matzah Shabbos, he would say, they'd bring a mic in, and they would hear it downstairs, they would say, and in that, sometimes there were very long talks, and sometimes he would include a mimer, and then it was transcribed, like it was divided up, and the talks were transcribed in one way, and the mimer in a different way. The mimer is sort of much more of a formal Hasidic discourse. Okay. Actually, interestingly enough, I remember that I was young then, I was very young, but I do remember some of those talks, and a lot of them had a lot of them about Israel. It was the time when peace treaty with Egypt was happening. And as well known, the Rebbe wasn't in favor of any of the peace treaties. He felt that it's always shown a weakness and it'll have further consequences. Anyway, interesting. But this is a mimer on the parasha. Okay, so this particular mimer is in the first pasuk. So let's just give it a background here. So the first pasuk of this week's parasha is the pasuk where Hashem appears to Avram and he says, Lech Lecha, right? Go for you, to you, however the translation is. Me'artzcho, me'ladetcho, be'savicho, from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's house. El ha'aret, you should go to the land, asher ha'reka, that I will show you. So in Chassidus, there's a lot on this topic where this command to Avraham Avinu, besides being literal, obviously, that he had to leave his father's place and go to Israel, was also very, very much about instructions for a spiritual journey. And how that journey works. So in this Maimonides part that we're going to learn particularly, it's based on a mimer of the Alter Rebbe where he talks about it. He talks about that the journey works two ways. There are two types of journeys that a Jew has. Just giving the background so it will be clearer. One journey is what we call milamaila lamata, when he goes from above to below. In other words, a soul or a Jew descends from a place of protected holiness or exalted holiness to a place and descends into a place that's not so holy, right? And that's what we often are charged to do. And then there's the journey of aliyah, of going upwards. In other words, starting from a place of lowliness and ascending higher, right? What he explains is that this pasuk is both. It can be interpreted both ways. In the first part of the mimer, he explains what it means, the journey from above to below, from coming high, from higher to lower. So the first part is a bit Kabbalistic, and then he translates it in terms of the journey of our soul, the journey of the neshama, and how that works. And some very interesting things come out of it, which we'll learn. Okay, let's see. Again, we're only going to be reading the highlighted parts. So if you're following along, just only the yellow parts. So Yomer Hashem al Avram, so Hashem said to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecho, go from your land, meladetcho, your birthplace, your beis avichom, your father's house, el ha'aretz asher ha'reka, till the land that I will show you. It's known. There are two interpretations on this pasuk, on a deeper level, in other words. Pirush Aleph, the first explanation is Shehalicha, the Lech Lecha him lemaila lemata, that it's a journey. Lech Lecha means to go from above to below, downwards. Like it explains in Torah Oir, and this is what he now focuses on. So he's going to quote from Torah Oir, Avram, but don't forget this week's parsha is not called Avraham, you know that, right? Till the end of Lech Lecha. It's called Avram. His name was only changed later on in the parsha, right? And what is Avram? In other words, who was Avram in a Kabbalistic sense? He was Avram. an exalted father. That's what Avram is. What does that mean? So those of you being by the Tanya Shurim would know, just so we understand what this means by Avram. When the Mamorim quote this idea of Avram, it's talking about a very high level. So first of all, let's break that down. Av, the father, you know that there's 10 powers, the 10 spheres, right? So Hashem created the world with these 10 powers. Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on. And the way Hashem created the world, as we explained many times, Hashem transcends all form of definition, all form of existence, all form of description, and so on. But in order to create the world, what Hashem did was He initiated what we call in Chassidus Seder Hishtalshlus, the evolution of the spiritual worlds. Right? So there's four worlds: Atzilus, Bri, Yetziras, yeah? And then there's the beginning of the Seder Hishtalshlus, beginning of the evolution of worlds, which is the part that sort of generates the Seder Hishtalshlus, right? And the first world, the world of Atzilus, is Hashem's world. It's His Chochmah bin Adas. We've explained this many times, that the Maharal comments on the Rambam that, you know, when the Rambam talks about Hashem's wisdom, and the Maharal says you shouldn't be talking about Hashem's wisdom altogether, because Hashem transcends all concept of wisdom and kindness. He cannot be described in any way. Transcends all definitions and so on, right? The Alter Rebbe and Chassidus puts them both together, the Rambam and the Rambam, and says, depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about Hashem and His essence, then you're right, Hashem is above description. You can't talk about Him in terms of being wise or kind. That's not, Hashem cannot be described in any way. Any description is a limitation, right? However, if you're talking about how Hashem chose to manifest Himself in some defined form, which is the world of Atzilus, that's Hashem's manifestation in a defined way, then you have the 10 spheres. You have Hashem's Chachman, Hashem's Binah, and Hashem's Das. But of course, even Hashem's Chachman, at that level, the Rambam explains that it's a different type of Chachman. It's completely, infinitely detached from the Chachman that we have. Okay. But we know that from Tanya, we know that the idea of Chachma and Binah is this idea of mother and father. Right? Av and Ein. Remember that from Tanya? So in other words, Chachma is the conception of an idea, and then Binah is the development of an idea. And then together they give birth to emotion, right? Together. So the same thing, when Hashem created the world, He manifested Himself first in the 10 spheres, which means He manifests Himself in the idea of Chachma, which was the genesis, the origin, the first spark of existence, the idea of having existence in the world, right? In his Chochmah, in His mind, so to speak. That's just the very, very first revelation or manifestation of the concept of there being a creation at all. And then you have Binah, which is the development of that idea, right? And then, of course, that gives birth to Midus. Midus is the seven emotions. I'm talking about in Atzilus, it's Hashem's seven emotions. And that's already makes room for what is emotion. Emotion is a response to the outside. So the emotion is already entertaining Chacham Binah's all within his own mind, so to speak. But the Midas are responding. In other words, Midas are then the source of creation, which is why the world is created in 7 days, 6 days on Shabbos, because it's corresponding to the, right? There's a pasuk that says, Kisheshes Yomim Asa Hashem Shemayim Mesorah. So we say that every Shabbos. Hashem made the world 6 days, right? You ever notice the grammatical problem with that sentence? How do you say, in 6 days Hashem made the world? All right, it should be b'sheshes, in 6 days. Kisheshes yom os Hashem means He made 6 days. It doesn't say He made it in 6 days, He made 6 days. So there is long Kabbalah says that what it means is Hashem made the six spheres, chesed, vura, tiferes, netzach, chod, yesod, and that's how He made the world, with those six midas. And then Shabbos is Malchus. Shabbos is the culmination of everything, right? Kisheshes yomim asa Hashem sashamayim v'osaros. He made the 6 days. He made Sunday, which is Chesed, Monday, which is Gvura, and so on, right? So, this is a bit of background to what he wants to say here. So, in Chochmah itself, there are different levels, which we're not going to go into now. And the highest level of Chochmah is what we call, look at the words of it, it says Avram, which is Seichel Hanela Mikol Rayon. It's the Chochmah is always the beginning of intellect, but it's an intellect which is a transcendent intellect. It's like hidden from all other ideas. It's like the most deepest and highest form of Chochmah that there can be, in Hashem's Chochmah, right? And then, of course, the spiritual worlds evolve, and Atzilus goes into Bria, and Bria goes to Yetzirah. Each one is a lower level. Yetzirah goes into Asiyah, and we are creations of the lowest level of the level of Asiyah, as we've explained many times. Okay, so in Chassidus and in Kabbalah, it says that Avram, Avinu, right, Avram, is a symbol of that highest level of Chochmah. That's his Madrega. That was his level. Avram is a symbol of Avram, the exalted father. Father meaning Chochmah, which is the highest level of Chochmah of Atzilus. Right? And Hashem commanding Avram to Lech Lecha is the instruction for the highest level of Chochmah to start the journey of coming down to the lowest level of existence. Coming down to this world and being revealed in this world. Right? Which is interesting, he doesn't bring it over here. But that's why Avram Avinu's name, after the story of Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu's name gets changed to Avraham. Why? Because, so Rashi brings, well, what's the difference? So Rashi brings like this, on a very simple level, on a non-Kabbalistic level, Avram means that Avram was a leader of a place called Aram. That's where he was born, that's where he lived. Av Aram, he was a leader in Aram. And then Hashem said, you have to go and I'm going to make you a big nation, and many nations are going to come out of you and so on. So he added a hey to his name. And that's why it's Avraham. Why? Because Avraham, the Ham, is Rashi says, is a reference to Hamoin Goyim, many nations. Hey is Hamoin, the Ham, the right, the Hey and Mem. Hamoin, like many, many nations. So Hashem saying, up until now you were just Avram, just the leader in Aram, in the place called Aram. But now I'm going to make you Av Hamoin Goyim. I'm going to make you the father, the leader, the origin, the ancestor, so to speak, of many nations, right? Taking that same idea, what we just said, is the same idea that in Kabbalah and Exodus it explains. That initially Avram was Avram, highest level of Chochmah Vatzilus. He was the highest level of spirituality. But Hashem wanted him then to, the idea that spirituality shouldn't remain in spiritual. So Avram Avinu was living in this world, but he really was on a higher level. He was from a different world. He was from the level of Avram. Hashem says, Lech Lecha, now you've got to reveal yourself. You've got to start descending into the world, into the wide world. Publicizing godliness, bringing people close to Hashem, affecting the world, right? And that's when he came, Avraham. Hamoin goyim, you got to be, you can't just be exalted. Ram means you're up there. But now you got to be Hamoin goyim, you got to reveal yourself. Okay, that's what he says here. So therefore, let's see, go to the next yellow thing. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. So his soul originated from a different place to the other souls.
Other souls of the time.
Yes.
Yeah, Ram Avinu was the one carrying the Nefesh HaLakis, the special Jewish soul. Right. And our neshama, not all our neshamas are the same level as Ram Avinu, of course, but
nobody else at that time had.
No.
They all came from Kumas Noga.
Correct.
Sarah also?
Sorry?
What about Sarah?
No, so Sarah was the feminine part of Ram Avinu. She was down with Ram Avinu's soul. And all the matriarchs like it. They the feminine expression of the patriarchs, right? So they all go together. Yeah. Right? Okay. The Omar Hashem al Avram. So Hashem says to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha. You'll see this, as I said, it's a bit Kabbalistic, but then the next paragraph highlights a very important concept on our own Avodas Hashem. So Hashem said to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha, go from your land, which means, she'yetzei oiroi hanelam, you need to take your transcendent light, your hidden light, legilui, to revelation. The yumshach mi lemaila lematana needs to be drawn down from the above to below. Ad el ha'aretz. You have to go to the aretz. What's aretz? We said, father represents chochmah, right? What's aretz? So chassidus, land is a symbol of malchus. Why? What's malchus? You know that tenth sphere, we talked about this many times on Thursday, other shiur. Malchus receives all the processes. Malchus is the feminine. It receives all the other emotions, all the other madregas, and reveals them. That's why Oretz, the land, is a symbol of Malchus. What do you do in the land? You plant, right? It receives the plant, it has nutrition, and then it's able to give birth to growth, right? Just like the feminine power, which can take the seed that comes from the male and then produce it, right? It receives the seed and it produces. Same thing, the land receives the seed and it gives birth to a tree, to produce and so on. That's why Oretz is the concept of Malchus. But Malchus is the revelation. It's the lowest level in a way. It's got the highest source, as we know. But it's the point of giving birth, of revealing something at a revealed level, not just in its transcendent level. All right? not just in its potential level. That's why I have to go Elo Oretz Bechinas Malchus. Right, now he says like this. Hashem said, we're going to interpret the words of the Pasuk, right? He doesn't go through birthplace and all that kind of stuff, but he says, Chochma, Lech Lecha, Avram, highest level of Chochma has to go down. Elo Oretz, the level of Malchus. But he doesn't just say Elo Oretz. What does he say? Elo Oretz Asher Ar'eka, to the land which I will show you. Right? What does that mean? So he brings two interpretations of what that means. So he says like this. Elo Oretz, Bechinas Malchus, Umoisif, and he adds, Asher Ar'eka, that I will show you. Ubazeh Beis Pirushim, and there are two explanations. Aleph, the first one is, Sher Eka Koy Elo Oretz, Ar Eka means, I will show you the land, meaning, Bechinas Malchus, Sher Malchus, Bechinas Alma de Isgalio. In other words, because there are different levels of Malchus in Hasidus and in Kabbalah, we have this idea of the hidden transcendent worlds, and even they have a form of Malchus, but then there's the lower worlds, which are called the revealed worlds, the ones that we can relate to and see, right? So he's saying you have to go all the way down, Elo Oretz, to the level of Malchus, Asher Ar'eka, that I will show you. In other words, it'll be revealed all the way down, that it'll be revealed to the people of the world, right? So it's just not just bringing it down from a lofty level of Chochmah to another lofty level, which is a bit lower. It's bringing it down all the way, El Ha'aretz, to the land, Asher Ar'eka, that I will show you. It'll be fully revealed, right? The revealed worlds. That's one. Or Pirush Beis, but the second explanation, which is what we're going to focus on a bit, right? This is all a bit of an introduction. Sher Eka Koyel Avram. That El Ha'aretz, go to the land, in other words, go all the way down from that lofty seichel to Ara Oretz, and then Ara Eka, I will show you. Koyal Avram, it actually means I will reveal you then, meaning Ere va'agale oisva ba'atzmacha, I will actually show you, I will reveal the true you. Meaning, you are an unbelievable level, but if you want to reveal the true you, your essence of who you really are, you've got to go all the way down. Right? Meaning, which means, ha'inu, even though we talk about Malchus, and especially at the level of Almadiz Gali, the revealed worlds, he could say, Hachitachtoin, it's the lowest level, it's the opposite to Avram. Avram's the one, Ar'eka's the other, right? The Seichel Anela Mikol Ryan, and we talk about this transcendent Chochmah, right? Chochmah Ilah, who could say, Hachiel is the highest level, Afal Pike, nevertheless, Al Yedei HaYeride V'Amshoche. Through you going down, Hashem says to Avram, through traveling all the way down, lebchinas malchus, the level of malchus. Next page, alma de isgalia, to the revealed worlds, al yedei ze yisroel v'yiskale amitis in yonish l'Avram. It's only then that the true identity of Avram will be revealed. The purpose of Avram will be revealed. So now it's a paradox. You're going to go all the way down, so you're going to be in a lower level, but yes, that's when your true essence is going to be revealed. Because he says, what will happen is, you are on the madrega of the transcendent seichel. You're going to go down to a level of malchus, right? What does that mean, you're going to go down? The seichel, this transcendent seichel, is too much to come down, right? So part of it is going to obviously remain transcendent, that's what it is. But you're going to take parts of it, whatever can be revealed, as we learned last week, you know, that's clouds, right? Whatever can reveal in coming from that original transcendent seichel, you reveal in the world. But, he says, that's when you're going to really have a true elevation. In other words, that transcendent seichel will be, not only the world will be changed, but that transcendent level will become higher when what can be revealed in this world is revealed. Okay? And this is what he's going to explain now in a much more sort of different context, but you'll see it coming more clear. So let's have a look. He says this. This is what the Alter Rebbe explains about Avraham Avinu. Okay. Says the Rebbe. He adds like this. Al derech ze hu gam beinyan yiridus haneshama beguf. The same thing happens with every neshama that comes down to the body. Right. Now let's just stop there for a second and just remind ourselves of a few things. So, the neshama, as we know, has many levels. Right. Hashem sends the neshama, and the neshama interacts with the body, and is enclosed in the body, to use the terminology of the Mamorim. It's mislabesh, it actually works with the body, it comes into the body, right? But we know the Neshama actually has five levels, right? Let's divide those five levels into three. You have the three conscious levels of the Neshama, which is intellect, emotion, and behavior, right? And then there's as we know, the neshama is chai, right? That's the one conscious levels, the three conscious levels. Then you have what we call rotzoim, the desire of the neshama, that which is not so conscious. In other words, the part of it that's we call makif, that is a bit more transcendent, right? It's the part that drives the neshama by remote control. It's like us also. You can find even direct, right? Like we explained this before. Just to give you an example. So we have what's called, even in our own experience, life experience without the neshama, we have what's called koiches plimi. We have the faculties, the parts of us, our personality, that we can feel its manifestation, right? And therefore, we can even feel where it is. Like when you think, you can feel the power of thought operating. But if you ask someone, where do you think? Everyone knows. You feel you're thinking in your head, right? You don't think with your knee, you feel in your head, right? Where do you feel? You feel midas in your heart. Where do you feel the power to write in your fingers, right? Because these powers, it works with an oyer and a keli, what we call a light and a vessel. So there's a power of writing, and then there's the vessel through which we write, right? Yeah, so if a person, for example, chas v'shalom, breaks their finger and they can't write, doesn't mean they don't possess the power to write, they do. But only the oyer, only the light of light of writing, not the vessel. There's no means, there's no tool. Right? So you have to have both things, right? Same thing, Chassidus brings this whole idea. For example, if someone chas v'shalom is blind, they can still have a child, they can see. Why? Because everyone is born with the power to see. If someone can't see, it means that their eyes are not working properly. Their physical keli, the vessel, is not working properly. Doesn't mean they don't possess the power, yeah, the power of seeing. They do. And that's why it's passed on, right? So that's an analogy for things that we feel interested in. However, sometimes we do something, right? Because we're driven by an instinct. We're driven by what Chassidus calls rotzon, the power, the conviction, the will, right? Where do you feel that will? No way. There's no keli for the will because it's very strong. But it remains aloof because it actually, all the other, the conscious powers are able, they're low enough, they're connected enough to be able to interact with the physical keli, the physical vessel. Whereas Ratzin can't, right? Same thing with the neshama in a spiritual way. There's certain parts of the godly soul that comes into our body. We can think about Torah, we can understand Torah, we can feel the love of Hashem, fear Hashem, we can do mitzvahs and so on and so forth. But that's driven by Ratzin, by what we call Chaya, that fourth level of the neshama, Chaya, which is a deep Ratzin, a deep transcendent will, which is, it doesn't actually interact with the body because it's too high. It remains transcendent, remains encompassing, remains what we call makif, right? And then you have the fifth level of the neshama, which is Yechida. Chid is the essence of the neshama, but it also doesn't come into the body. It's connected with that neshama, right? And sometimes we connect to it, like on Yom Kippur and Purim and these things, but it doesn't work within the body. It's much too high, right? So we have this idea that the neshama comes down. Neshama, before it came down to this body, was lemaila, was above. We talk about the neshama being above, right? And the neshama comes down, it travels through the process of, say, the ishtalshut, takes the journey from the higher levels to the lower levels, and it comes into our body, but not the whole neshama. Right?
So 4 and 5 outer body.
Yes. Huh? But they're connected to you. And
because our pintling is outside.
Yeah, but that's why it works. It would get tainted if it was in you. Okay. I mean, not because of you. Not because of you, but because of a physical body. Right? So of course, it doesn't mean it's not the essence of our neshama. It's the essence of our conscious neshama. But its existence is transcendent. Right? So therefore, as we're going to learn, therefore the journey of the neshama is a bit like Avraham Avinu's journey. The neshama is sent downwards, right? But only the parts of the neshama that could work within the body are sent downwards. Right? Now, we know this idea, right, that the neshama didn't need to come down. The famous idea, right? The neshama doesn't need tikkun. The neshama before, where was the neshama before it came down to our body? The neshama was with Hashem, was having a good time, learning Torah. It was lovely. It didn't need the whole service, right? And yet Hashem sends the neshama down, right? So we know, why does the neshama down? So first of all, the neshama needs to come down because the guf needs fixing. The body needs fixing, right? So the physical world needs fixing. Okay, so the neshama comes down to help out. But Chassidus has very famously said that, well, it's not only the body. The truth is that the neshama also comes down, yirido tzorech aliyah. Coming down is for the purpose of becoming stronger. So the neshama is elevated by coming down, right? So here's the chiddush of this maimer. Why does it have an aliyah? Because it comes down, it has to face the challenges of this world, it's got to face resistance of the Yetzer Hara, and nevertheless it strengthens, it does mitzvahs, even though it's here, and it does, right, all those things. And the neshama pulls through you. Overcomes the obstacles, overcomes the temptations, overcomes the resistance of the Yetzer Hara and the environment and the klippas and so on and so forth, so it becomes stronger. So the neshama has an aliyah. Neshama is elevated, it becomes stronger. When the neshama leaves this body, it's much stronger than it came. Even though it was problem-free before it came, but yet didn't have the same strength it has when it leaves, right? Now the question like this, when the neshama leaves the body, it has an aliyah, it became stronger. What part of the neshama became stronger? We say the neshama has an aliyah, which part? So the chiddush is every part, including the yechida. Even though they weren't the ones to come down. You follow? So let's see it in here, and then I'm going to show it to you in the previous Rebbe's Maim in a much, much, strong, much longer elaboration.
Do we have freedom of choice of our own
song? No. Here we do. Well, it depends what you mean by your own song. No, you don't have freedom. Your neshama has the right ratzon. That you don't have a choice there. The neshama always wants it. You don't have freedom of choice in your nefeshlekes altogether. The nefeshlekes wants to do the right thing. You as a conscious human being has a free choice whether to listen to your nefeshlekes or you listen to nefesh abam. You see, animal soul, you got this.
So you can override
just with a different ratzon, the ratzon of the nefesh abam.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
You really set out to fail, okay?
Sorry?
It was made hard for us.
It definitely was made hard for us. That's the point. Otherwise, it wouldn't be worth the whole thing. The whole point is, yeah, we'll see. No, yeah. Okay, so it's like this again. Let's go from base again. Same things when the neshama comes down to the body. That the elevation that happens to the neshama when it comes down. Just skip the brackets. It's not only the elevation. It's not only in the parts of the neshama that comes down here. But vafilu, all the dargis, even the transcendent levels of the neshama, experience this elevation. Vafilu bechines yichida. Even the yichida, even the fifth level of the neshama, the essence of the neshama. The agam dezeh shenikra yichida, even though it's called yichida, which is an amazing thing. What is the yichida? The yichida is that part of the neshama that is one with Hashem. So you think, like, what elevation could it possibly have? Go to the next yellow part. Mikol mokim, nevertheless. Al yidei sha neshama yeredes lemaila. Through that, the neshama comes down lamata to this world. The igurama labira mikta, as the terminology goes, from a very high building to a very low pit. Nase aliyah gam bebechinis yechida shaba. The neshama becomes elevated even at the deepest level, even the part of the neshama that never had to face the resistance, that never had to go through what the neshama goes through here, because that really, it remains aloof, it remains lofty, it remains higher. Like it's explained in many mamorim, shall yedei avodas haneshama b'yirdas lemata, a dafka through the neshama coming down, nase aliyah ve'aliyah shel berech. There's this amazing elevation, gam b'shoyrish ve'etzem haneshama lemayla, even in the root and the origin of the neshama that remains above. In order to just understand this a bit, go to the back page. And what the Rebbe is actually referencing is this mimer from the previous Rebbe, and it's beautiful the way the previous Rebbe was known for his very beautiful language, and he describes a little bit what's happening with the neshama before it comes down, and then what happens to the neshama after it comes down. So let's have a look. We'll go through it. Just the yellow part. Dehine, this is from the mimer that the previous Rebbe published in 1949. Dehine. And neshama, k'moyishu l'maylo, he says, the neshama, the way it's above. What happens when the neshama is above, right? Hari imedes ba'avo v'yira. Neshama is standing before Hashem with complete love and fear of Hashem, just fully love, right? It's just serving Hashem. That's what the neshama is doing before it comes down here.
My godly soul.
Your godly soul, yeah. And it's completely connected to Hashem and to godliness. But you read this lamata lislabash b'guf, and it comes down to in the body. Right? However, he says, "Umasha yored lamata." What comes down, rak ha'oro mitzas haneshama. What comes down is only a spark and part of the neshama that comes down, as we just explained. The etzem anashama, because the essence of the soul, hare agufu koten mehochil oisa, it is too low to tolerate such an unbelievable revelation of the higher parts of the neshama, and particularly the essence of the neshama. Yechida, in other words, right? Therefore, it doesn't come down. Why not? Because our kavanah with the matter, the whole point of the neshama coming down is not to be transcended, it's to shiyah b'chinas islafshas, that it should interact with the body. V'ayin yishiyah b'chinas oir, v'kli, that there should be this concept of oir and keli, light and vessel. That guf yiyah keli, the guf will be a vessel, el oir neshama, to the white of the neshama. V'an neshama toir boy, and the neshama will shine in it. And that's why only a spark of the neshama comes down. Ubobi slavshus guf gashmi, and it comes into a physical body. And for the part of the neshama that it comes down, it is an experience of great descent. It's hard for the neshama. It comes down and it's hard. Skip the next part. It says, what happens? He says, why is it so hard? Because in this world, hare ruboi ra, this world is a place of evil. Barashoyim goyvim boy, and the wicked succeed. V'yeshlam kamo menius v'yikuv malkima Torah mitzvahs, and there's so much obstacles in the ways of Torah mitzvahs, to your point. Ubifrat al inyan avoida, and especially serving Hashem, like davening properly and serving Hashem properly. V'zeh bo v'bnei Allah mitzvahstay, and that's all because of all the concealments and all the things that are standing in the way. The oira leki eino meir begilui bo'olam klal, because there's no revealed godly light in this world. That's the point of this world. This world is the real true world. World means oilam, which we know when it comes to the world, the ha'alim, to hide, right? This world is the world, right? Because, you know, Chassidus always talks that Hashem wanted a dwelling place in this world. And we'd call it diru betachtoinim, a dwelling place in the low place, meaning a place that you can't get lower. What does it mean you can't get lower? A lot of the worlds, Atzilus, Bri, Yitzir, Asir, they're all low worlds, because Hashem is infinitely higher than all of them. But there's always some godly consciousness in some of the worlds, at least even the one that comes before this world, right? This world is the only place, that's why it's meaning low. It's not just because it's physical, it's also because it's completely void of godly consciousness, right? And that's where Hashem put us, and that's where He wanted us to reveal Him. But it's hard work. Why? So He says, Omnom, and that's why Hareza Yerida Gedoyl V'atzimah Bo'ed, it's an incredible descent. Omnom HaYerida Yitzayra Chaliyah. However, this yirida is for the purpose of an elevation. That through coming into this physical body, but nefesh abamis, an animal soul, v'dafkil mazeh dafkin, in this world. What does the neshama do when it overcomes all obstacles? Shaloi metoyra makayimus amitzvus, learns Torah and fulfills mitzvus. Bavoyd lekis u'bedafke hine bozeh dafke nasa aliyah b'yoyser. This causes the incredible elevation. V'aliyah nasa zu, and then he makes the point that we've been talking about, and then he explains in the next chapter. He says that the aliyah, this elevation, which is through the savoyd, the einoy rak ba'aretz haneshama levad. It's not only in the spark of the neshama that came down and has all the trouble. El aliyah ba'aretz haneshama nasa aliyah gam etzem haneshama, but the elevation is also in the essence of the neshama. And now he explains it through through an interesting moshel. Have a look at the next part of this back page. The moshel is it. What's the moshel? Hukamoy anshei chayil, like soldiers, shel melech of the king. Shaholchim lomulchama, always the moshel of a king, right? Shaholchim lomulchama, they go out to war. Hinei seder hamulchama, the routine of war, ve'anhoge valadei hasorim ve'apkidim. It's through the officers, the generals, and so on. That's how the routine of the war and the order of the war is developed, is guided. However, the war itself, while the anshei chayil, is through the soldiers themselves, right? The people on the front lines. Anshei chayil, em anoshim shutim. Generally speaking, soldiers are the simplest of the lot, right? They're not the generals, they're not the lieutenants, they're not the king, right? And they're not so well versed in war strategy and the complex, the complex strategies of war and so on. Rak in yonah, what is their purpose? Lilchaim, to fight, ulakayim bekudas hasorim, and to fulfill the commandments of the generals, of the officers. V'achakach kasher menaschim, when they win the war, harei misalim bazeh. So obviously we understand that when a soldier goes out to war and they come back and they were successful and they won the war, they're different. They're completely elevated, right? However, umis alim al yodom, because of them, there's an elevation called asorim upkidim. All the officers are elevated. Everyone experiences an elevation. Because even though the officers and the generals, they didn't actually fight the war, like the fighters who went in the dangerous place. Nevertheless, obviously, by their instructions being fulfilled, their purpose is revealed. The purpose is to win the war. The purpose of the general is not to go to war, it's to give instructions, develop the strategy for the war. But when the actual ones that fight the war fight, everyone is elevated. Everyone's purpose is revealed. Everyone's essence is revealed. If the war is not one, God forbid, then it means they don't fulfill the essence, right? Now he goes into and he mentions because of this a very famous thing. It's not just about the different parts of the neshama; it's also about the different parts of the Jewish people. And he says like this: Zeo shekasa. This is a famous thing. But it says, "We are ish Moshe onav me'oid bekol ha'adam arshel apnei adam." It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humblest of all men, right? Famous pasuk. And there's a famous question, how could that be? That's false humility. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was the greatest tzaddik. He was the greatest Navi. He was the greatest prophet, as it says in the end of the parashah that we read in Simchas Torah. And he was aware of that. He was aware of how great he was. So how could it say in the Torah, how could he be humble? What does that mean, he was humble? What does that mean, right? What does it mean he felt humble? And not just to say he felt humble than himself, he felt humble before, before all men on the face of earth. But he was greater than all of them. So what does it mean? So there's many, many answers. One answer is that he felt that he was greatest, but that was because of the God-given gifts that he was given. And if someone else would have had those God-given gifts, maybe you do better than him, right? He felt like it's not me, it's okay. And there are many other interpretations. But one interpretation that Chassidus gives is the following. But it says, the Hakavan, let's have a see over here, that the Adam al Pnei Adama means he was humble before those people, all the people that were on the face of the earth, meaning the Kol Tziur Adam, Shei al Pnei Adama, that any person that would be on the earth, Adnmar Kol Abirurim L'Moisa Mashiach, until the end of fixing this world, Mashiach comes, right? Moshe Al Yedei Ze'onav, Moshe was humble. Why? So it's got to do with what he explained many places. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest, right? In form of holiness. But he was like the ultimate general. He was so holy that for him it wasn't that war. That war didn't exist. He lived in this world, but it wasn't from this world. Like? A little bit like Avraham Avinu before he went Lech Lecha, right? So it says that Hashem showed to Moshe Rabbeinu a vision of all generations. And Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a vision of Ikvas Edom Mashiach, which means the people who will live before Mashiach comes. What's special about us that we live before Mashiach comes? We're not even close to even thinking about coming to Moshe Rabbeinu's anything, right? But we live in a world that is completely dark, probably the darkest ever been spiritually. And we are faced with tremendous wars, spiritual wars and unfortunately physical wars. And we have Mesiras Nefesh. We're still committed to Torah Mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw those Yidden that are out there in the trenches, out there in the front line, learning Torah, overcoming the obstacles. Simple people, right? The biggest compliment you can give us is that we're simple people. I don't know if we're even that, but we're simple people, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu felt humble. Why? Look what he says. It says like this. The Moshe Yerosh Yisro. Right now we have like another Moshe. Moshe was the head of the Jewish people. But there's a tremendous advantage in the foot over the head. The head can only go where the foot carries it, right? The hen emes, it's true. The ikar achai is the main source of energy, life energy of a person who's berosh, it's in the head. The haregel and the foot, mekabel chayosim in harosh, gets its whole chayos, the foot is nothing, the foot is dead without the brain. Omnom, however, gam beregel yeshmaila. In the regel, there's an advantage. Shemboil lichomevi asaroish lemokem sharoish l'atzmeni yochal agilishon. The advantage of the foot is that it carries the head to where it needs to go. So the strategy, the inspiration, the instructions, the source of life comes from the head. But without the feet, the head cannot fulfill its purpose. Right? And that's the whole mashal of everything. So it's got to do with the neshama coming down. So you have this within the neshama. So you have it first with Avram Avinu. Right? This is what the Maamar is saying. So Avram Avinu is, Avram is the symbol of this unbelievable level, Chachmei Lo, Rav, the transcendent wisdom. And Hashem says, no, you got to go to the hay, you got to go all the way to Malchus, down to the revealed world, right? Now obviously it means you're not going to, the whole entirety of this madrega is not going to go. Only the part that could go, the part that's relevant, the part that can interact with this low level. But when you go Elo Oretz, when you go to that land, Asher Ar Echo, I'm going to reveal you, the whole of you. Even the part of you that doesn't go down is going to be revealed, because the purpose of the whole of you will only be realized and really elevated when that part of you that can go down goes down. Right? Same thing with the neshama. So not the whole neshama comes down, but we say the neshama comes down, you read the Tzarech Aliyah. Right? But when the aliyah that we talk about, the aliyah of that the neshama is elevated by being in this world, the entire thing is elevated, the entire neshama. Even the yechida has aliyah. Because the yechida is like the general. The yechida is what inspires the part of the neshama that's in the body. In other words, without the yechida we couldn't operate. But the yechida doesn't do the job. The yechida doesn't fight the war. The yechida is not the one that becomes stronger. The low parts of the neshama fight the war. But through that, the aliyah happens in the yechida, right? But how that is relevant to us and very inspiring for us is that the same thing is in the collective neshama of the Jewish people. We're all one neshama, right? As it says in Tanya, in Perek Beis, we learned this. And the neshamas of the leaders, and particularly Moshe Rabbeinu, is the neshama of the head, right? And that's why we have to be connected to Jewish leaders. As the Gemara says that when the Torah says, "Ula dofka boy," when you cleave, you should cleave to Hashem, says the Gemara, how can you cleave to Hashem? So it says in the Gemara, you have to cleave to tzaddikim. Because they are the ones that have this lofty neshama, right? However, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the ultimate head, felt humble before Kol Ish, any man, including the simplest person in 2023 that is battling to do a mitzvah. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt humble. Why can that be? Because that's the lowest part of the leg. And that's the part of the leg that just has to be simple and just has to fight the war. And elevate the entire body, including the head. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu felt it, because Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he was being carried, so to speak, he was being elevated by the simplest yid before Mashiach, who, notwithstanding all the hardships, comes to shul and does a mitzvah and gives tzedakah and learns Torah. It's an amazing idea, right? So it means both ways. Obviously it means that the foot has to take the instructions from the head. So we have to understand that we are feet. In other words, it's not meant to give us a false sense of arrogance, right? A foot's less, no, it's a foot. As soon as a soldier thinks it's a general, it's the end of the war, right? Everyone has to know their role. Our role is the feet. We are soldiers. And that's why, like, the Chassidus many times talks about this unbelievable concept of Kabbalah's oil, just obedience. And obedience, every generation has its thing, right? The thing of our generation is surrender, obedience. Even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, sometimes they didn't have to do that. They had such a full-blown love and fear of Hashem. They were at such unbelievable spiritual consciousness and godly consciousness. They could serve Hashem without digging deep. Serve Hashem because they loved Hashem. We on the lower rung level, we defeat, right? So we don't wake up in the morning just like fully blown with an emotional love of Hashem. We have love of other things, but not Hashem. We talk about love Hashem in our mindset, of course. We learn about it, and we should try and develop that sort of feeling for Hashem and for Yiddishkeit. But we're not always that. And like that's why I wake up in the morning. You know, the famous question, I always get this question, people ask me, like, is it worth davening if I don't know what I'm, if I'm not in the mood, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't know, I'm not inspired, right? And it is, it's pretty empty, right? To spend like 20 minutes, even if that's a fast minyan, right? But especially if it's a slow minyan, right? To spend, you know, in front of a siddur doing things you don't like to do, and it's boring and it's hard. What's the point? Point is, it's the foot. You're fighting the war. You don't feel, you don't understand, you don't know, but you're doing it. You're following the instructions. That's the biggest thing. That digs the deep, because the lowest part of the neshama actually connects with the highest part of the neshama and reveals the purpose. That's what he says. And that's why that's the pshat, that the foot carries the head to a place that it can't go. So the aliyah, the elevation, therefore, is even a Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. As long as we know our role, as long as we know we are following Moshe Rabbeinu. We are the foot, we're following Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions. But we fighting the war And through that, we elevate even Moshe Rabbeinu. And same thing with the neshama. Our neshama, the conscious part of the neshama, takes instructions from the yechida, from the chaya, from the higher parts of the neshama. But it's the conscious part of the neshama, the nefesh ruach neshama, the intellect, the emotions, the behavior that does the job. But that causes an aliyah even for parts of the neshama that didn't come into the body and are not in the front line. They're not fighting the war. Let's go back a little bit to this maimer. Yes, we learned that. Okay, just go to the last part, like it's third page of here, this one. Just mention this briefly, because we the main focus of this part was that journey of Lech Lecha. So Lech Lecha is coming down from a high place to a low place. But, it says Gimel, Pirush HaBeis B'Lech Lecha, but the second Pirush of Lech Lecha is also an instruction to us, very important instruction. The Lech Lecha La'aretz U'Kapash Takosav, it's like the simple pshat of the pasuk, which is, Halicha zu milamata lamaila. It's the journey not from above to below, but from below to above. Right? Halicha ma'atzcha, milatzcha, beisavicha. In other words, the Yid has to know that we have to always journey. We have to grow. Sometimes we start from a very low place, but we have the ability to climb a ladder. So we have both things. We have this idea of coming down, but we also have the ability to climb. Being here, we have to climb a ladder. We have to start from the lowest rung, and we have to go out from our land, from our birthplace, from our father's place. And the Sfarim doesn't say it here. But in the Sfarim, it explains that each one represents another sort of, you know, habit. We have to go from Artzacha. Artzacha comes to the word Rotzah. We have to go from our unholy desires. We have to go from Beisavicha, from the place, where we, you know, our environment. Bladadacha, from our birth. Everyone blames things on my personality, on my environment. Lechra says you got to go beyond that. You got to go out of your... You have choice. You can overcome your animalistic desires. You can overcome your environment that you grew up in, which is Beis Avicha, your father's house. You can overcome Moladetecha, your birthplace, which represents your personality, your DNA, your the way you were wired, kind of thing, right? And all of that, you can go El Oretz to the supernal land. Over here, it means something different. It's going upwards to the highest level. You start from the Darga Chitach Toino, you start from the lowest level, and you go and you travel and you climb the ladder, which is the idea of davening, the idea of Shabbos is the concept of elevation and all that, right? So that's part of it. So the neshama is sent downward journey. That's the Lech Lecha journey from upwards to downwards. And then the purpose of the neshama down here is to start from the very low, to do what we need to do. We are soldiers, but to try and climb, to go out of ourselves, to grow, and try to reach higher levels than we were before. Okay, we'll stop there.
Thank you.